It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show on WGN Radio. Charlie Potter, your host, and hope that you enjoy the show. We are going to far, far north. We're going to head 49 states up to Alaska. This morning, very early on the phone, we had Matt Boleen, who is the head of Bear Creek Outfitters. If you recall, last week I described having for the first time been into southeast Alaska, having spent a lot of time previously up in the Arctic, Crystal Bay, out on the peninsula, in the interior. I have been to the southeast, and I said to myself many times since I got back, I saved the best for last, and one of the best things that happened to me was I ran into Matt Boleen, who, as I said, runs Bear Creek Outfitters out of Juneau. And Matt, thank you for joining us this morning on the Great Outdoors Show.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me.
And I know it's really early in Juneau, but Matt, what impressed me most is a comment you made to me after we had spent a day out on the water, which was, people fly over southeast Alaska to go to Bristol Bay, to go to the peninsula, to go to the interior fishing. They have absolutely no idea what's here. And I firsthand experienced some fly fishing and the most incredible scenery I've ever seen in Alaska. So I asked you this morning, why is it that people don't think, even avid fishermen, such as myself and many of our listeners on WGN Radio, why don't we think southeast Alaska for fantastic fishing as opposed to heading further north?
I think what we have a lot here in the Tongass National Forest is we have thousands of small anadromous waterways that don't look like they're worth fishing. But if you can put your plane down and get it and put your boots on the ground and fish here, you'll find that all these small streams, what they lack in size, they more than make up for in fish and quality of fish. And the coolest thing is nobody else is fishing here. So you can literally put your boots on the ground someplace that somebody else might have never been before. So it's pretty much all untouched watersheds.
And certainly, Matt, in today's world, that's impossible. I mean, I think of fishing in Bristol Bay, which I've done every year for many years, and the sound of planes going overhead is constant. Frequently, you're standing on a river, and you're fishing, and here comes another plane, and there comes another plane. Next thing you know, you've got 10 people fishing next to you. I never saw Alaska. In fact, Matt, in southeast Alaska, never saw a fisherman when I was with you. So is it kind of like the duck industry, where Stuttgart says it's the duck capital of the world? Everyone who thinks they want to go duck hunting or have great duck hunting goes to Arkansas, but there's also great duck hunting elsewhere. Is that what's happened, or is it just because it's not that Juneau is hard to get to, but maybe it's hard to get out from Juneau? What do you attribute to what I really consider to be a complete lack of understanding of what southeast Alaska is for fishing?
I think, what people go to Bristol Bay for is, the big rainbows or the sockeye salmon. And, what we have here that what you experienced with your daughter was some incredible Dolly Varden fishing, the pink salmon, the chum salmon, the sea run cutthroat trout. It's just incredible here. The steelhead fishing early on in the spring and the silver fishing later on in the fall. And I think the what people usually do here is they don't necessarily think of it as a fishing destination, but it's a place that they go fishing while they're here. And once they do, kind of like yourself, you come back and you think, wow, this is incredible. Why didn't I come here before?
Well, I think that one of the things that really surprised me, and for those of you listening, if you haven't experienced it, I really recommend it, is I've heard that pink salmon, otherwise known as humpies, they're not much. The smallest of the salmon. In fact, I was told by a really experienced fisherman in Alaska, why would you even bother with that? Well, after the fourth pink salmon took me into my backing in my 8-weight fly rod, I was wondering if he'd ever actually ever fish for them. I couldn't believe how underrated the pink salmon are, particularly when they're coming right up out of the ocean.
Oh, yeah. They'll give anybody a good fight. that's an incredible fish, you know, averaging 4 to 7 pounds. And this year, I think we're going more about 6 or 7 pounds. It's kind of the average, and they're hot right out of the ocean. All of our streams are short, so we're intercepting them just as they're entering. So they're dime bright. Their scales are real pretty, and man, they give up a good fight.
Well, they really do. Particularly, you put fly rod, 7-weight fly rod in the hands of a 16-year-old girl, and you watch her shoulders leave her sockets. one of those pinks take off. But let me ask you, Matt, how did you end up in Juneau and doing what you're doing? It's certainly not an everyday life.
No, it's not. I grew up in northern Minnesota hunting and fishing, and I guess I always saw myself living in Alaska, and I finally got to a point in my life where it's time to do it. And, I one of the things that I really enjoy and appreciate about living here is being in a truly remote and wild place. You know, the Tongass National Forest is our largest national forest. It's 17.2 million acres. And you know, that feeling that you get going to a place and knowing that you're not going to see anyone else and that no one else has probably been there for a very long time, if ever, is just such a cool feeling to have that it just makes you take a lot of pride in being able to fish that spot or go hunting in that spot. And I guess that's what has kept me here for almost 15 years now.
One of the things that surprised me, and when we think of Alaska, we think, oh my gosh, it's got to be really cold. And lots of Alaska that I've been in is really cold, but it really struck me that you're a temperate, in a way, forest. The trees everywhere, and it's not, is that a correct assumption that you don't have the bitter cold of a lot of the rest of the Northwest Territories and Alaska?
Oh, no, that's exactly right. Yeah, we have a very mild winter, typically 25 to 35 degrees. Usually we get some good snowfall. Last couple of winters have been pretty mild, but, you know, it's some good snowfall, but it's pretty pleasant winter. You know, it's not it doesn't get the total darkness that we get up, you know, in north of Fairbanks, and doesn't get that frigid cold either.
So, and obviously, though, you're known for your rains. Matt, what I'd like to do is to take a quick break back and talk a little bit more about what's going on in Southeast Alaska, and obviously ultimately if anyone wants to come up to that part of the world, how they might do it, and so let's talk a little bit about what's the Songus National Forest, which is our largest national forest, and incredible source it is. We're visiting with Matt Boleyn, who is the head of Bear Creek Outfitters out of Juneau, Alaska, and you're listening to Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Show on WGA Radio and app. We'll be right back in just a moment.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. We're visiting with Matt Boleyn from Juneau, Alaska this morning. He's kind enough to get up early for us. Matt's head of Bear Creek Outfitters, and we've been talking a little bit about the surprise I encountered with really just fantastic fly fishing in Southeast Alaska. But let me, Matt, before we go back to fishing, let me ask you a little bit about it. Southeast Alaska is a big area. I don't think you can drive there from anywhere. Is that one of the things that really makes it stand out? We think of Alaska, which is a lot of float plains, but you still can drive across a fair amount of Alaska now. But is the only way to get around Southeast either in boat or by plane, with the exception of a few routes that don't go very far?
Yeah, that's correct. We've got nearly 40 miles of road from one end to the other, and we like to say there's only three ways to get in and out of Juneau. Well, I guess not out, but three ways to get into Juneau is boat, plane, or birth canal. So you've got to have a boat or a plane to get in or out.
Maybe that's why it's so special. So
that's right.
Alaska is an enormous area, and in many ways it strikes me, while you're quite a bit further north, it's not different from the Pacific Northwest and the huge trees and the coastal rainforest. But what about the overall wildlife in Southeast Alaska? You have the coastal brown bears, but how would you differentiate it from the rest of Alaska?
We have the Sitka black-tailed deer, the coastal brown bears. The mountain goats, those aren't in, those only cover the coastlines of those southern southeast portion of Alaska. And, you know, the Sitka black-tailed deer are as far north as Kodiak and the Frognerk Islands. But I guess the animals here, it's when we go out on a fishing trip, you know, we bump into the brown bears and the black bears and the moose and the wolves and the deer. They will stay out and they'll let us see them because they might have never seen a person before. Most likely they've never seen a person before. So they're curious, and it gives for a nice wildlife viewing show as well.
Well, one of the things that struck me, and again, I had the pleasure of being all over what I consider the North Country in Alaska, is the number of bald eagles. We came upon some streams when I was out, and there would be 20 or 30 bald eagles in an area not much larger than someone's living room. I couldn't believe the amount of bald eagle activity. And is that due to the amount of food, or are they just concentrated there? It struck me as really an incredible experience to see the number of eagles we saw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the salmon are kind of the lifeblood of our whole ecosystem. You know, we like to call the Tongass a salmon forest, because the salmon are literally just the lifeblood of everything. You know, the eagles there because of the salmon, the bears are there because of the salmon. You know, they find salmon proteins in 100-year-old trees where the bears eat part of the fish and they drag it up in the woods and it stays there and ends up fertilizing things. And so the salmon are just as much a part of why everything's so green and lush as the rain is. So they really are the absolute pinnacle of our ecosystem. And there's so many of them. You know, we have, the largest producer of pink salmon, you know, down here. And, last year there's well over 100 million that returned to our area. They really are the reason why everything is the way it is.
Well, now I don't feel like I did very well. If you told me there were 100 million that returned, I thought I fished really well, but I guess I didn't even catch you couldn't even find it with 3 decimal points going 3 miles. But let me ask you, before we go on to the time of the year that you think really works best, not only from the fishing, but just generally to come and experience the wilderness of Southeast Alaska. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, what if you had to think about anything that's sort of a threat to the future of the ecosystem there and what's taking place, is there anything that jumps out, Matt, or are you really in a pretty good place right now?
I think where we're at right now is we're in a pretty good place, but I would say, you know, large-scale clear-cut timber harvesting is probably the biggest threat. There's projects in place to try to protect some of the best of the best watersheds in the Tongass. It's the Tongass 77 project, and bottlenecks and next it down to the 77 best of the best watersheds that are the highest producers of fish, highest for commercial fishermen, so that you get, you know, on your dinner plate back home in Chicago in a restaurant, or for guys like me who run companies that take people fishing as well in those exact same streams. And so I'd say that's probably the single biggest threat right now for us. We're hoping that our lawmakers will get on board and will support the proper ways to protect that.
Well, it's a worldwide resource. Matt, we got about 2 minutes left. Let me ask you, if you were planning to come to, and Southeast Alaska is a big area, when would you say the fishing starts? And just take about 90 seconds, kind of take us through the cycle. If someone was thinking about, geez, I've always wanted to go there, or I never thought of going there. I've been elsewhere in Alaska. Maybe I should give this a try. Because really, it's a solitude that struck me with no other fishermen around and yet thousands of fish around. When would you how would you plan something out sort of in the next 90 seconds, time of the year, and what you might expect?
Yeah, absolutely. So we start off the year in May and we end in September. Early May is steelhead time. A steelhead and the Dolly Varden and the sea run cutthroat trout. The pink salmon start to show up late June into July. The end of July into August is when the silver salmon start to show up, and the chum salmon coming a couple different runs there in the middle. So I always tell people that if you have the absolute pick of when you can come here, I would come anytime between July 15th and August 15th, because I would consider that the peak of the run when you have the most species available for you. But if you're interested in steelhead fishing, you really want to be here the first couple weeks in May. That's the time to be here.
Well, I think it's a resource that, as I said, Alaska is known for a lot of things. Southeast Alaska is not known, at least people, for the kind of fly fishing and sport fishing that I experienced. And so, Matt, thank you for sharing a little bit of it, your time with us. Let me just quickly ask you, how long have you been up there, Matt?
I've been up here nearly 15 years and been guiding and doing this for about 10 years now. So, yeah, I love it.
So it's, and I can tell those of you listening that I never speak about an outfit that I have personally been to and experienced. Bear Creek Outfitters out of Juneau, Alaska, owned by Matt Poline, is a high-quality operation. Matt, I thank you for visiting with us. In 2 seconds, tell us sort of how we get in touch with you other than just Googling Bear Creek Outfitters, Juneau, Alaska.
Yeah, so our website's JunoFlyFishing.com, and you can find everything there. We're also pretty active on Facebook and Instagram, so you can follow, what we do all summer long on that as well. And then on our website, you can get my phone number, and I can give that to you now here too. It's 907-723-2663, and I'd love to take you out fishing.
Well, thanks very much, Juno Fly Fishing or Bear Creek Outfitters. We'll get you to Matt. And Matt, you're a long way from home in Minnesota, but I'm glad you are. I have quite an experience, and I think everyone listening will be well served if they look you up. Thanks for being with us. And for those of you listening this morning, I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the Great Outdoors Show, quite a bit of information on the waterfowl surveys and also what's going on with the Illinois IDNR and state parks. So thank you for listening. This is Charlie Potter, your host of the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America on 720 WGN.